Hey everyone, this is John Jonas, and super excited to have this video case study today with George and Evan. So I was talking with George and Evan, I think it was last week, and they were just talking about the success that they've had in their internet businesses and in hiring outsourcers to do stuff for them. And so I wanted to talk with them and see what information we could get out of them to see what see what we can help everyone else with based on their experience. So welcome, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, John.
Thank you.
Good to have you guys here. So I know that George is a little bit nervous because George gets nervous.
I'm a nervous person. I get nervous.
George gets nervous on this kind of stuff. And it's okay. I'm not going to hurt you today. This shouldn't be too painful. So I just wanted to start off by hearing, okay, so you guys told me last time we talked that you're making money, you're succeeding, you're doing well. What business are you making money in that you have people doing that you have other people doing the work for you?
Well, I'll start with that. We are making money helping businesses market online. In other words, our core business right now is helping a mom-and-pa business down the street, or maybe a medium-sized business, or even some larger corporations, and they need help marketing online, whether that be a new website or pay-per-click management, managing their SEO campaign, just a wide variety of things. And we find that people need this help, and they're more than willing to pay for it.
Okay, so local business marketing, great. I mean, that's a super common theme right now. People are succeeding with it, and it's easy and it's good. So beyond that, I know that you guys have a bunch of other things going on. You guys have some really cool WordPress plugins. You want to talk about those for a second? Or is there any outsourcing involvement with those?
Well, I'm gonna let Evan handle that part of it.
We haven't done any outsourcing with the workshop yet. We're more than likely going to be outsourcing a lot of our Twitter and Facebook stuff for the workshop. But the plugins and stuff, we wrote all in-house.
Okay. So so everyone knows watching this, they have a really cool WordPress plugin that will take your WordPress blog and put it on your Facebook fan page, which is really cool. And I looked at it, and it's very, very well done. So, so let's talk about your outsourcing stuff. What are you guys outsourcing? What do you have people doing for you?
We pretty much outsource from A to Z, depending on the project and how much time we have that we can dedicate to the project. We outsource a lot of our Twitter and social media stuff like that, and sometimes we do outsourcing on particular jobs. Like we had one job that we had to connect a system for using a scripting language called DOM, and we outsourced that job. Several jobs that come to mind quickly. Anything you can think of, George?
Yeah, well, a lot of the nitty-gritty things that have to be done in an SEO campaign, search engine optimization, you can outsource that. You have to come up with systems that work for you. And then what you want to do, John, as you well know, you have to document that, make it very, very plain. And once you get that in place, it's easy to tell somebody who doesn't know anything about SEO that you can walk them through the steps. In fact, I'll go this route. I would rather, when I get somebody brand new, I'd rather they don't know anything about SEO because they learned it maybe the way that I'm not happy with. Because I've got my own, and we have our own way of doing things, and I'd rather just have somebody that can take instructions and that I can communicate clearly with, and have them do all the steps that it takes to SEO, you know, our sites or maybe some of our client sites.
That is such a good piece of advice. So I'm just going to kind of reiterate and change this a little bit. I'm not going to change it, but. You're saying that when you guys hire someone, you almost prefer to have someone who knows very little because you have a system in place for teaching this person what you want them to know. And you figured out that you have to teach them what you want done. Is that right? Is there something else you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's a lot easier to train somebody to do they'll kind of fit into the system and the way we have it doing things when we're kind of starting with a blank slate where they're not already have their own way of doing it, where we can just say, this is the way we do it and we like it done. And people that don't really have a lot of experience in the field, they seem to just pick it up and go with it, while other people will kind of argue a bit and say, this is the way I think we should do it.
Okay.
John, years ago I used to manage a telecommunications company, and we installed phone systems and did wiring in a regional area. And people would come in, and I'm sure everybody's heard of AT&T, where people would come in and say, I'm a former AT&T employee, can I have a job? And especially when we post a job. And we'd get, 10, 15 people apply, and about half of those thought they were shoo-in because they proudly say, we have experience, I'm a retired AT&T. Well, guess what? They immediately don't have a chance with me because I knew that they were probably going to be stubborn. They learned, 20 years they're the wrong way, or the way that AT&T does it, but not the way a small mom and pop company does it. And so we wouldn't hire those people. We would hire people who took instructions well, that had little or no experience, because you kind of come in with a clean slate. And that advice has always served me well back then, and it especially serves me well when I'm hiring somebody to do a project where it's really based upon something like, SEO is a philosophy. Pay-per-click is a philosophy. There's 1,000 different ways to do that, and you've got to choose your way, and then you've got to get somebody to pretty much be you.
That is so dang spot on with how I run my business, where, I want someone else to be me. I want them to know what I know. I want them to do it how I want it done, which is what I've learned. And it's great if I can get someone else to bring in their own knowledge and stuff, as long as they're going to do things that conform to my systems, where if you find someone that's going to fight with you, it's pretty difficult. So, okay. So do you have something to say, George?
Well, I was going to say, you brought up an interesting point. The internet's huge. And every day, and this probably goes with Evan, and I know with you probably too, I learn of another site that's cool. I learn of something, wow, look at this piece of software that I didn't know about. And it's been around for years, and I'm just now finding out about it. And so there's no way you can know everything, and you have to be willing to learn even from newbies. And we'll hire somebody, and then I'll ask them, what do you know? And I'll ask them to get maybe fire up Gene, and you can get that at geneproject.com, and make a video for me and show me something that you know. And I'm surprised over and over when they come up with things I didn't know about. And maybe they have a little bit of SEO experience, and we still hired them. They'll come out with a strategy that said, wow, that's pretty cool. And me knowing a lot about SEO, learning from somebody who's pretty much a novice in SEO, just because I'm willing to listen. And sometimes we find that what they showed us, we're able to incorporate in our overall strategy later on.
Evan, anything to add to that?
No, George pretty much covered that.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so let's talk about your guy. How many guys in the Philippines do you have working for you?
Right now we just have three.
Three?
And three full-time.
Three full-time people. That's not just. That's pretty dang good. What do you have them doing for you? No, let's start at the beginning. When you hired these people, what was your process? What was the process you went through in hiring these people? Like, did you post a job posting? Did you go through resumes and email them? What did you do to hire these people?
Well, I took this course from this guy named John Jonas.
Okay.
What's it called? ReplaceMyself.com.
Okay.
And I took a lot of notes, and I pretty much followed step by step what you said to do, and I never will forget that when we first took this course, I made a remark. I'm not sure who I made the remark to, Evan or somebody on the team, and said, hey, we're going to, within 2 weeks, we're going to have several employees. And I said, no way. I said, yep. And within 2 weeks, we had three employees. And I would like to say we still have all three of those today, but, it was a learning curve. But we've learned a lot, and we've gone through a couple to get some good ones. And some people go out there and they go crazy, and they go out and get seven people or eight people or 10 people. And they're, you can get a lot of work, especially if it's a structured environment out of two or three people, even out of one person. But that's how we started. We started with your course, all those instructions. And as you know, in the course, there's a website. Am I allowed to say the website on this video?
Whatever you want.
Is it bestjobs.ph?
Bestjobs.ph is one of them, yeah.
I went through your interface because it's a better deal.
Onlinejobs.ph.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Onlinejobs.ph. We went through your interface, and that's where we found the people. And we kind of made a little twist on your strategy. But
talk to me about it. Tell me that. What's your twist?
Well, the twist is I don't like to be out there. I don't like for my competitors to know what I'm doing. So I'm not going to profile myself. And I'm not sure if you taught this or not, but even if you had, I don't like to profile myself, because you can say I'm an employer looking for people. And then there you are. There's your email address. And by the way, I got a special Gmail address just for that. And so, by the way, I'm the only one in the whole world that has FilipinoJobs@gmail.com. But I got that. I couldn't believe it was available. And that's the one that I use. But I didn't put myself out there. I like the stealth approach. Well, where I just review the resumes, and I don't want them contacting me. I want to contact them. So that's what we did. I didn't establish a profile, and I contacted the ones that I wanted to contact.
Okay, so
through email or through.
There was something specific that I loved that you, well, the last time we talked, that you told me that you haven't talked about this time, which was you had said something about emailing them and then working with the ones that emailed you back.
Well, it's kind of a twist on that. After they'd email back, we'd have a conversation with them on Skype. And we kind of judged, we didn't really say, like, this is your interview. We just kind of, as we were talking to them, it was kind of a mental note that test out how they replied and things like that to see how well they'd work. So if we sent them a message and there was too much of a delay in between the response, we knew that person was either too busy or we weren't important enough to them. So we kind of just sit there and have a chat with them and tell them what we needed from them and how we wanted them to work, and we just gauge their answers and how long they would take to get back to us and things like that until we were confident that we kind of put them on a test to see how they would work with us.
Right. They're either too busy or their English skills are so poor they're trying to decipher what you type and get back to you. So I like people that respond quickly, and they don't realize that's their interview. And so the other thing is that we did, John, is you in this business, when you're trying to hire people, you can't cherry pick. Yeah. Yes, you want to do your search and try to find people. Let's say you're looking for somebody and you want somebody who's real good at WordPress, and you do a search for a WordPress as your keyword on John's site there, and you find 30 people that have put a resume in within the past couple of weeks that have extensive experience in WordPress. Well, you contact them all, or you look. You don't go for the best one and only, okay, I'm only going to contact these two. Because your response rate, I found, is going to be pretty low, maybe what 10-15% of the people actually getting back to you that you contact. So if you want to take a long time, cherry pick and only contact one or two. If you want to speed it up, contact a lot, and you'll have higher numbers.
So
is that what you wanted?
That's exactly what I wanted. After we had our last conversation, and you had talked about this. You had talked about your experience in emailing people versus posting a job. I kind of had this epiphany to myself where I realized if you're posting a job out there, and this is something I've never done. I've never posted a job. I've always just gone and contacted people that I thought would be acceptable. And I contacted exactly what you said. I contacted a lot of them, and I came back and filtered through them and kind of had the conversation, although I never thought of it as what you just said, had the conversation with them where if I'm instant messaging with them and they're taking a long time, then maybe that's because their English isn't so good. Maybe that's because they're too busy for me. Or email is the same thing. If I email them, and I think it was you that told me this, if you email them and they take 2 days to get back to you, I don't really want to hire that person. You know, they're not attentive enough for me. I want them to respond by tomorrow. You know, and if they respond today, even better. You know?
Yeah.
But then I
some of the advice that you gave in the course really helped. And, you know, Filipino people don't like to disappoint. And that helped me sometimes explain why all of a sudden they drop off the face of the earth, even in the interview process. Hey, they just probably got another job and they don't want to tell you. They feel bad. And they don't want to tell you that. So rather than tell you, they're just not going to contact you at all.
Yeah, and so, and it's so true. It's so true. So kind of the epiphany that I had had before was that if you contact people, you have a good idea who you're contacting. If you put your job out there, your job posting, and you let people contact you, and I'm not saying this is wrong, because a lot of people do this, and I had a good friend email me the other day, or actually he called me and said, I put a job out there, and I thought I was going to get like one or two responses maybe, and I had like 50 responses in an hour. The problem with that is you just kind of don't know what you're getting. You're going to have to filter through people who are completely unqualified. You're probably going to get some really good qualified ones, but you know, you're also going to get some people out there who are AskSunday.com. It's a business. They're trying to get clients. They are contacting you because you put a job posting out there. You know, and it's not wrong. It's just it's a different way of doing it, and I guess it has its advantages and its disadvantages. But this is my experience is that it's easier to find people if you're doing what you guys are doing, where you're emailing 20 people, you wait for the responses, the 14 of them that don't email you back obviously are not interested, you know, and the six that do, of those, some of them are gonna email you every 3 days, and that's immediately. Cuts them out of it. So, you know, and another thing, the more people that you get responding to your job inquiries, the better of a chance you have that person is responding to lots of job inquiries and taking lots of jobs, which nobody wants that. So,
and
go ahead.
I was going to say that, and when we just outsource, and see, there's two things here. You've got your outsource, where you have a job done specifically, then you, in our case, we hire an employee or two or three. And so when we have things that don't need to be done over and over, we'll outsource. And that's just a temporary one-time thing. And Evan is the one that's really good at that because he's a lot meaner than I am. And when I say that, sometimes I'm a pushover. And I'm not as nice, as mean, as, or stern as I should be, and so Evan's pretty direct.
Well, I just kind of lay it out. I just lay out the job. This is what I want. I want it by this date. I don't want to hear any excuses. Just have it on my desk by Tuesday at 4:00. That's it.
Yeah.
And if they agree to that, hold them to it.
And if they don't agree, then I'll discuss with them and see what kind of time frame they need, and once we come to an agreement, when they tell me a time, I expect it by that time, because
yeah,
I got a client waiting to have that job done, and if I'm given my word that it's going to be done at that time, I want it there.
And if that's with like a freelancer, I think that's great. If you're doing that with a Filipino who's your employee, saying I want this by this time, if it's a questionable time period, you better let them know. If you can't get this done by this time, I need to know, because otherwise they're not going to tell you and they'll disappear. Because you just set them up for, you just set them up to not want to disappoint you, and then they're going to be, you know, disappointed. Anyway. What kinds of things do you have these people doing for you?
Well, one thing that I'm always thinking of new things I should be delegating, and that's a real art. You show me somebody who can delegate well, and that's going to be somebody who's very, very successful. And I'm still learning to let go of things. And I heard somebody say, and I'll get to your question, John, but I heard somebody say, if it doesn't matter how good you can do it, if it doesn't get done, then who cares? So if you can get somebody to do it at 50%, at least they're doing getting it done. And so you got to keep remembering that when you're delegating. You say, well, only I can proofread this, or are you proofreading? Are you submitting your articles to directories? So some of the mundane things that I hate to do, and our people on our team hate to do, we'll outsource. We'll say, okay, and when I say outsource, I'm talking about the employee Filipinos. So we'll have them take articles. I've got it now where they even think of the titles for the articles. We charge up the article account. They order it. They go get the articles once they're ordered. They make sure that we go the extra step and copyscape them, even though you get them from a company that supposedly copyscapes them. I have them doing that. They'll post the articles in the article directories. We have several blog directories that we use. We put it. I mean, you've got eZine articles and Go articles and Unique Article Wizard and, oh gosh, AMA, Article Marketing Automation. We use that. Then they're going to turn around and change the article up a little bit and put it on Squidoo and Hub Pages and on your site. Lots of different things. Hey, I'm giving away some SEO strategies here, but even when it gets on the site, there's something called OPSIO, on-page search engine optimization, and we have them doing that. Using a special tool that we created, by the way, I'll add, called Mo SEO, but it's a WordPress plugin.
MOWSEO.
Mo SEO, yeah. In fact, you can get a free copy of that by joining our workshop, which is free. But
sweet.
And am I allowed to say the workshop?
How about it?
Okay. MarketingOnlineWorkshop.com, and if you get a free basic membership there, you get our free plugin, Mo SEO. And we use that now. And that tool right there helps us keep track. When you've got and this is a great example. Let's say you have some employees, in this case Filipinos, and they're adding articles to your site. Maybe you've got 80 articles. And that's not a lot. That's only one article every month for a little over a year and a half. And or every week for a little over a year and a half. So you got 80 articles. Well, it's one thing to post them on the site, but did you know you could spend 5 extra minutes and properly do on-page search engine optimization, OPSIO, and get triple or quadruple the effect or traffic out of that article if you just take a little bit more time? The problem is I don't have time to go to all my sites and check up to make sure it's getting done, and neither do I want to go into every single article post and say, let me see if it's, even if you're using a tool, a plugin for maybe in WordPress, like the all-in-one SEO plugin, which is one that we use a lot. You have to go into each article to see if the work was done. Well, we use Mo SEO, and at a glance, Evan, why don't you tell them what it does, how we can check up on our Filipino workers to make sure that.
Yeah, what it does is it puts a list of all your pages and posts in one page on your WordPress blog, and then it has a couple of little icons. It has a yellow exclamation point to give you a warning, a red X to say that it's not done, and a green check mark to say it was done correctly. And then it'll list every page and post down that one page, and it'll tell you whether or not the person has SEO'd each page individually. So at a glance, you can just look for red X's or yellow exclamation points and find out right away whether or not they're doing their job.
Yeah, you can even separate it by post. So. And if you have outsourced workers, as we learned from John, you got to have a system, and sometimes we have a great system, and we really thought that part out, but the making sure that it gets done part is where we fail, and you got to have it all going on. You got to have the system, you got to make sure it gets done, and you got to check it out, and as you heard one of our great leaders say, inspect what you expect, or trust but verify. Well, I trust my workers intimately, but we all make mistakes. We all forget things, and I don't want one single blog post going to waste. So there's two ways to do it. You can go in manually and check every single one, or you could – we just came up with a plugin that makes SEO real easy and at a glance and makes it kind of fun for them to do SEO. And we're not here to talk about our plugin, but it's really, really helpful.
That was kind of the idea behind the plugin, was making it easier to keep up with the workers, though.
I love it. I think that's I just wrote down a note to myself to set up Mo SEO with my team. So
yeah, Imagine being able to install a plug-in and 2 minutes or 20 seconds later, you see at a glance all the pages. And we don't presume to speak for everybody when we do SEO, but John, you know how when you do SEO, some people think a title tag should be 65 characters. Some people say, well, no, it can be 68 characters, and some say, well, don't go over 60, and some say, who cares? It could be 140 because Google reads it even if it doesn't show up in the search results. Well, you can put in your parameters there, and meta description. You probably don't want that to be over 155 characters, it'll be cut off. But you can put in all those parameters and set it. And then if your rule is that it shouldn't be over 65 characters, if one post shows up 68 characters, big warning sign.
Cool.
Hey, you need to go fix that. Like, and so at one glance, you see everything, and you know what needs to be fixed. And it just makes the SEO process funner, and it makes checking up on all your outsourced work just a snap.
I love that. That's a really great process that you guys have developed, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this case study. I wanted to get inside your business and see how you were succeeding with this. So we've gone like 26 minutes, and I want to kind of wrap this up. How has, you know, from the beginning, even before you hired people, and then on through hiring people, I want to know how doing that, how having that knowledge helped you succeed. How did outsourcing help you succeed? Did it give you confidence? Did it let you get things done? What did it do for you?
Well, I think the big thing about the outsourcing is you're kind of able, like, I'm pretty sure everybody that sits in front of the computer and does internet marketing has certain parts of it they love and certain parts of it that they just can't stand doing. Like, I hate repetitive stuff. If it's one thing after another that's the exact same thing, I know I won't do it, and I'll put it off, and I'll put it off. So the stuff that I really don't like, I kind of hand off to an outsourcer, and the stuff I enjoy doing, I'll sit here and I'll work on. So the whole day I'm opened up to do things that I want to do rather than sitting here kind of figuring out stuff I can do to occupy my time, because I know when I finish this, I have to do that stuff that I don't want to do in the first place.
Right. Sweet.
John, I remember doing something, and a client had 30-something special reports, and I'm, you know, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't let it go, but I was taking it into Word, and then you got to make a header and footer and PDF it. What we're trying to get is from a special report he'd written that was horribly formatted to a nice professional looking PDF that can be downloaded. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And after about the first one, I was like, oh my God, this is repetitive, it's boring. And so I fired up Gene and spent about 10 minutes going through one of them, showing exactly what I wanted. Then, not only, as I learned from you, not only did I have a video, I typed out the steps too, because it helps, especially Filipinos. Sometimes they need to see it visually and also follow something. And it took me 10 minutes to outsource what would have been 3.5 hours of just, I would have been dead after doing that. And so outsourcing frees you up, and it makes you where you can concentrate on what you're good at and what you like to concentrate on and be more of a people person. And that translates into more money.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
There was a few jobs that we had to move products and stuff from one store to another, and there were different kind of stores where you couldn't just export all the products and import them into the new system. So you had 500-600 products that you had to go in and add product and upload a picture and everything. And literally, it'd take you a minute a product, but there was 500 or 600 of them. So you just kind of do 5 or 6 at a video and write it up and hand that off, and it's like, okay, that's out of the way now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. Okay, so and Evan, I see you got to go. Before we finish this, any last pieces of advice, anything that you guys would do differently, anything that you would add, any last pieces of advice for people watching this?
Well, one thing, don't do this. Don't use your main Skype account when you're interviewing. Get another Skype account. That's your interview with Skype. You only sign into that account when you're interviewing. And as you heard earlier, our interviews Skype is an interview form, so don't give that out. And again, I've got that email address because I'd mistakenly given a, you know, get a separate Gmail account for this. Don't use your main business. You don't want them scoping you out before you have a chance to talk with them. And those are two big advices I would give people up front that, well, I made mistakes and paid for it later.
I like it.
Yeah, not to mention that you might interview 10 people and only hire one, but every time you log into Skype, then 10 people are, can I have a job?
Exactly. That's happened.
Anything else to add, Evan, before we finish?
No, that's everything.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. This has been awesome. I love seeing your business. You guys added some things to my business today, and I think it's wonderful. So, everyone watching, you know, go hire someone and take these guys' advice and do what they're doing. So, talk to you later, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.